big week in politics. Peter Robinson announcing his retirement and, of course, the DUP-Sinn Féin agreement reached after 10 weeks of talks to save the Assembly. The deal, called A Fresh Start, has been welcomed by church leaders, business people and even the Obama administration, but there have been strong words of criticism from trade unions. Carmel Gates, the president of NIPSA, Northern Ireland's biggest union, says the deal will bring a new round of cuts, job losses and poorer public services. She's with us now. Good morning to you, Carmel.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Nigel Smith from the CBI is with us as well. Morning to you, Nigel.
Good morning.
Well, what was the alternative here, Carmel?
Well, I think they needed to be talking about putting money into the economy, Stephen. I think it's hugely disappointing for communities, for workers, for families struggling to cope, for those on benefits. After waiting weeks to hear what was coming out of this deal, I think they're going to be hugely disappointed. And far from being this being a fresh start, this puts us back to exactly where we were almost a year ago when we had the Stormont House Agreement. It left us with a deal that led public sector workers to take in strike.
We've got the most generous benefit system of anywhere in the UK. That's what the DUP and Sinn Féin have delivered.
Well, they've delivered better for here for a temporary period only, and then workers are going to be worse off. But we have to think about what has happened to benefits over the last wee while, Stephen. To say that we've got the most generous benefit system is
true.
People here, but there've been a cut after cut to benefits over a huge number of years, and people here are actually worse off. So whether or not we've got the best system, the best in the UK, is irrelevant, because benefit claimants across the water are struggling, and benefit claimants here are struggling. So it's only a question of degree. That there's absolute poverty here, and those in benefits are struggling. But what's worse as well is the cuts that are affecting families now are affecting working families, those on low income. And whether or not there have been some mitigations for a while, it's only for a while. And then those families who are going to be losing up to £1,000 a year are going to be actually worse off. So they've sold it as a temporary blip to say, you're not as worse off as somebody in London or in Glasgow or whatever. But that is actually deceitful to suggest that struggling families and those in benefits are going to be better off. But as well as that, the deal goes further, because it's going to cut further public sector jobs. They're borrowing £700 million to do that, to destroy jobs, and at the same time offering in April 2018 the potential for corporation tax cuts to big business, which will shift even more money out of the hands of low-paid families and into big business. And I think what they've actually done is close to scandalous. They've tippered over the cracks on the political issues, because the contentious stuff is stuff they can't deal with, because what Sinn Féin, the DUP, actually agree on is all the economic and financial issues. So what they've done is they've cobbled together a deal that's going to destroy the economy here.
Destroy the economy is ridiculous, isn't it? It's just ridiculous overstatement to say that.
But it isn't, Stephen. If you borrow £700 million to cut 2,500 jobs, what you've actually done is you're getting in debt to reduce money out of the economy. The mitigations that are going to be paid for are coming out of departmental budgets. So there's going to be further cuts to services, which is going to lead to further cuts to jobs. Because if you take money out of the public sector, you actually have a knock-on effect of destroying jobs.
Nigel Smith, you're listening to this. What do you make of this so far?
Well, I disagree. The economy is growing at the minute, despite all the austerity and all the noise we've heard about cuts, etc., on the back of it. We do need high-quality public services, but we do need to reform how they are provided. We need to be more efficient. We need to reduce the levels of waste. And duplication. We need to transform how services are provided. We need to open up some of these markets. We need to look at more shared services, more digitalisation, etc. on the back of it. Now, the business community does need public services. We want good health services. We need good education. But the current provision needs to be reformed. But I think in terms of growing the economy, it's growing at the moment. We believe the decision to reduce corporation tax in April 2018 will lead to tens of thousands of jobs. High quality job. This is about transforming the economy and providing more opportunities for our young people.
Are we really saying, Nigel, that there was that much slack in the public service system that we can cut all of these jobs and nobody will notice it? So these, what is it, Carmel? 20,000 jobs? Is it still 20,000?
Well, it's up to 20,000, yes, and that figure hasn't changed.
So are we really saying, Nigel Smith, that 20,000 public sector jobs will go, that there were 20,000 public sector slack? That's how much slack there was in the system. All of those jobs will go. Nobody will notice.
Well, back in the late 1990s, we had less than 200,000 people working in the public services. That number went up to over 220,000. That number's fallen by about 78,000 over the last 3 to 4 years. That number, this is going to fall over a period of time. Every year, there's 3,000, approximately 3,000 people retiring out of the public services. We've actually argued for the last 6 years we just needed to put a hold on recruitment. And through natural wastage, we need to restructure, retrain, redesign jobs. There may be some specialist positions with people in. We believe those numbers will fall, and we do believe there's significant slack. The private sector has been on an annual basis taking 2-3% of costs out, and in some cases a lot more than that. They've been using technology, they've redesigned their systems, they've restructured the system to be able to do that. So we actually do believe that that is actually possible. Some people would argue there's a lot more potential to do that. Now, there may be some services that are provided that should not be provided by the public services.
If we look at this deal in itself, between April 2014 and March 2016, the Northern Ireland Civil Service is set to reduce headcount by approximately 5,210. And between April 2015 and March 2016, a further 2,200 will exit the wider public sector. So that's what? 7,000, nearly 7,500, Carmel Gates, in that period alone.
Absolutely, and we have to
by next March.
Yes,
and that's in this week's deal.
That these workers provide services. So it's whether or not you're taking the money out of their wages out of the economy. What's more important to some extent, Stephen, and this is what listeners need to understand, is every single one of these workers provides a public service. So either whether it's in schools, whether it's in hospitals, whether it's on the roads, all of these people provide those services. But I want to challenge what Nigel's saying, because what he's actually saying doesn't make any economic sense. He's saying about the economy growing. Tell that to Michelin workers. Tell that to workers who worked in Gallagher's, to work those who worked in Patton's, those in FG Wilson who are losing their jobs. What we are losing is quality manufacturing, well-paid construction jobs, well-paid manufacturing jobs, unionised and productive and well-paid. And Nigel is trying to tell us that the economy's growing. Tell that to the Michelin workers. How can you say the economy's growing when we're losing huge numbers of these really good jobs? We're losing public sector jobs that are well-paid. The economy is disintegrating. And this notion that we can attract, that we can give more money from public services that also really sustain private sector.
Do you know what, Carmel?
Well,
you're the president of NPSA, okay?
Uh-huh.
You're the president of a union, the biggest union in Northern Ireland.
Yes.
You should maybe stop talking this place down, and the place might actually be slightly better. You've just done it again. The economy is disintegrating. The economy is not disintegrating in Northern Ireland. Actually, I saw a survey yesterday that said house prices were up some 3%. The economy is not disintegrating in Northern Ireland. Why do you get a buzz out of talking this place down?
No, Stephen, we have to be absolutely honest. We can't, no, I'm not going to say what sounds nice because it sounds nice. We have to be absolutely brutally honest about what's happening.
We need to look at the evidence. The evidence is the manufacturing sector has been growing by 1,000 to 1,500 jobs a year. There's probably an extra 2,500 new people going into manufacturing every year. The skills barometer launched last week is indicating there's tens of thousands of jobs are going to be created in manufacturing. There are dozens, if not hundreds, of small, medium-sized manufacturing companies across Northern Ireland that are growing at the minute, which actually are struggling to find certain skill levels in Northern Ireland, particularly around STEM skills, engineering skills, all to do with that. So it is very sad. Market conditions, there are going to be winners and losers. That's how the market operates on the back of that. Some very specific hits that Ballymena have taken clearly with the JTI and the Michelin. But around Northern Ireland, there's a lot of opportunities in manufacturing. There's a lot of companies actually
over the years, there's been huge job losses. I mean, we go back through to Seagate. If I started to list them now, we could be listening until the end of the programme, Stephen, the number of jobs that have been lost, good quality engineering and manufacturing jobs that have been lost. Some of these new jobs are temporary. And there's no question about that. Some of these new jobs are temporary. But I have to question, what balance is in the economy now. Nigel Smith is talking about, that the economy's grown. If the economy is grown, and if it's grown organically, and if it's grown on its own, then why are our politicians spending time saying, is there going to be further cut in corporation tax? Because, for example, if you look at Michelin, it wasn't corporation tax that drove Michelin out of Northern Ireland. It's high energy costs. And, I mean, I'm one of the people who I'm old enough to remember when we had electricity that was run publicly, when it was run for the benefit of end users, when we had resources and energy that people could afford. Now we have electricity prices. That means that people have to choose whether or not they heat their home.
Let's say we're sitting at home this morning. Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
Good morning, Steve. No, just listen to someone there. And it's just basically pure socialism. That it's the state's responsibility to provide jobs. It's the state's responsibility. I think we heard them at the Gerard recently. It's the state's responsibility to provide electric. It used to be the state that provided the telephone lines, and you had to wait months for a telephone line. That was a state industry until it was privatised in the face of union resistance. But it's not. The public services are there to provide a service. I worked for the public services. They're there to provide a service. They're not an employment scheme.
But if you're taking benefits and jobs out of the economy, then that's got to have an impact. If people have less money in their benefits, they're going to spend less. If more people don't have jobs, they're not going to have the income to spend. So how does it not affect the economy?
The point is, Dave, we have a higher proportion of our public services, far, far bigger proportion of the workforce than it is in England. Welfare, with twice the number on disability living allowance than they have in the UK. And those are facts. And those facts, they have to be addressed. And people aren't going to... you can't... It's no point waiting for the unions to come along. You need to come along and say, right, we'll give away a few jobs here, we'll do away a few jobs there. That's not what they're in the business for. She's in the business to preserve her jobs. And I can admire her for that. That's what she's there for doing. But she's not... The economy... to get the economy going, socialism isn't going to work. And that's just pure socialist ideology, where it's the state to provide... In the United world, the state would provide the electric, the state would provide the phone, the state would provide all the services. I would all work for the government. It simply doesn't work.
Patrick and Derry. Morning, Patrick.
Hi, Stephen. I wasn't going to come on, Stephen, but I didn't like the way you were attacking it. Nips a woman. You see, I do know, because I've spoke to you before. You see, you're Minister of... up there told me one time that there's 30,000 zero-hour jobs, 30,000 of them in Northern Ireland. People have no future, they only go in, they have no holidays, they can't get mortgages, they can't get anything, and you have a million of them in England. I know that. They've got jobs. That's creating things so they falsify unemployment figures. Also, you used to say years ago, I heard you, we get more per capita than anybody else. And you used to ask all the government ministers, why can't you handle it? They made a mess of education. They made a mess of our health service. They made a mess of our energy. What have they done that they haven't made a mess of? That you haven't said, well, you're your employer. You've destroyed this place. You've left the people...
Who?
I'm not worried about the people...
Who has destroyed this place?
Make a fortune.
Who has destroyed this place?
Look, excuse me.
Here you go again. This place is not destroyed.
No, excuse me. We're talking about the ordinary people who's worried about their health. The ordinary people about the energy bills. We're not worried about the people who's way up in your league, big money, Stephen. We're talking about the people who just have zero-hour jobs and are trying to make ends meet. That's your job up there in Red Ulster. They fight for them. You don't fight for the people who have the money. And that annoys me every day. I want to hear you.
Yeah, because you're dead right, because I don't fight for people. You're dead right.
No,
I don't.
Individually, you take on something. But you have them in the back of your hat. Sinn Féin and the DUP have destroyed this flipping place. Now, the jobs are gone. The woman's right. Mitchell and everybody else lost their jobs. You see the one you're talking about, F.G. Wilson? When the two guys went over to America and says, we saved your jobs. That was Robinson and McGuinness. They come back. Don't worry, your jobs are safe. They've lost hundreds of jobs. So how do you justify that?
Well, they're also attracting industry in, aren't they? And I just meant that's where we come round then to corporation tax and the promise that corporation tax will be cut to 12.5% by 2018. You can look at that one of two ways. You can say, right, that'll attract a lot of business into Northern Ireland, attract jobs. That's the game changer. Or, of course, Nigel Smith, you can say, hold on a minute. The DUP and Sinn Féin have signed up to a corporate tax policy which gives big tax cuts to big business, while at the same time, Sinn Féin and the DUP have signed up to cutting people's benefits. Where's their priority? People's benefits or giving a tax cut to big business?
Ultimately, I think we need to look at and paint a picture of what is our vision for the Northern Ireland economy. And our vision is one where we have a much higher level of economic activity, a higher wage economy, a higher skilled economy, a higher productivity economy, and an economy with higher living standards overall. Now, there's no doubt that the lower CT is going to help us get there. That is what the evidence indicates. It does indicate there's around about 35,000 jobs, high-quality jobs. And this is not just about foreign direct investment coming in. There's absolutely no doubt, and the evidence is just down the road in terms of the impact that has had on the Irish economy. But it's also going to benefit a lot of our small and medium-sized companies in Northern Ireland. 80% plus of them are going to reinvest those profits back into their businesses, whether it's skilling people, whether it's investment, whether it's an innovation in R&D. And ultimately, that is the picture we're trying to go on the back with. There are going to be difficult decisions. But there are opportunities to take costs out of the public services. It is important we have public services. But, you know, we have to grow the economy. We need to create more higher quality opportunities for our young people.
But the facts don't back up what Nigel is saying, Stephen. And this, I mean, you've had on your programme, Richard Murphy, and other qualified and sensible economists who've said that the sort of jobs that will be attracted to Northern Ireland by a cut in corporation tax are low-wage, zero-hour contract, non-unionised, poorly paid jobs. Low-wage and minimum wage.
Zero-hour, let me pick up the zero-hour contracts. Around about 4 or 5%
of people in zero-hour.
The majority of people in zero-hour contracts actually want to be in zero-hour contracts. There is about 30% of them want actually to be on part-time, full-time. But for many people, it's a way into getting some job experience, work experience. And this is all about creating more opportunities. The strategy has to be to create more opportunities. Nobody else has come up with any other policy measure that's going to create an extra 35,000 jobs. We then need to make sure we align our education and training, because we have a misalignment.
Okay, well, let's let Carmel speak now.
Nigel, we then need to have the right incentive.
Let's let her speak.
Nigel, no matter how often you say that, it doesn't make it true. The majority of people want to be in reliable contracts where they know what their income is going to be at the end of the month. It's a nonsense to think that workers want to not know from one day to the week or from one phone call to the next about when they're due, because people have mortgages, people have car payments, people have families. They need to be in secure employment where they know what their wage is going to be at the end of the month. So it is nonsense to suggest that it is workers who want these 0 hours.
95% of 130,000 people in Northern Ireland are on part-time or full-time contracts. It's a relatively small number of people in zero-hour contracts. It's part of the flexibility in the labour market. There are proposals.
But it's not relevant.
There is some
abuse. And it's growing. Nigel, let me finish. The numbers in zero-hour contracts are growing. And even the jobs that you talked about earlier that are supposedly growing the economy, to some degree it's growing the profits. If it isn't growing the living standards of ordinary people. And Patrick from Derry was absolutely right. It is changing the dynamic in Northern Ireland, because there are some people making money, and there is no question about that. There are profits to be made from exploiting workers. And we've reached the situation where workers now have no option but to take whatever is on offer. And various government schemes and so on.
Okay. When we're talking about corporation tax, by the way, you know, is it definitely happening? Because I've seen here is it a Facebook message from Jim McVeigh, who says, as for corporation tax, we won't be signing up to any cut unless we can afford it, and we won't be able to afford it anytime soon, comrades. This is about taking further fiscal powers back to Ireland, about giving us the power to reshape our economy. And who's Jim McVeigh? Councillor Jim McVeigh, no less. This is a senior Belfast Sinn Féin representative who says that they will not be signing up to any cut unless they can afford it, and we won't be able to afford it anytime soon, comrades.
And hopefully Jim's message will get through to his comrades, because at the moment they seem driven by, and it's one of the things that unites Sinn Féin and the DUP in terms of the finances, they want to shift the balance of the economy away from services, because let's remember, This money that's going in corporation tax cuts is coming directly out of the block grant, directly out of money that should be spent on services. And let's remember the services that we're talking about. Somebody mentioned earlier about the state doesn't, you know, we don't deserve a living from the state. We absolutely don't, that's right. But there's paediatric nurses in Antrim Area Hospital just recently averted a strike there because of the pressure and stress they're under. Now, if you've got a sick child, do you want to go into a hospital where there's well-qualified and enough staff to deal with that child? Or do you want a situation where your child's life might be in danger because a nurse is running from one area to another because there aren't enough to cover? Now, that's what we're talking about. So when people bandy about terms of, you know, these public services jobs and we don't need them and the state doesn't owe people a living, when we're paying our taxes, we and people deserve proper health care, they deserve proper services, and they deserve quality jobs, not jobs where they're abused for profits for big business. And Nigel and his friends, Nigel and his friends are so successful in running the economy. Why are we in the situation that we're in now, where we're losing hand over fist good quality manufacturing jobs? Because the people that I represent are public service workers. Yeah. But I absolutely stand, the trade union movement stands for private sector workers who are also losing their jobs. We stand for working families who are struggling. We stand for those on benefits. Well,
stand for working families who are struggling by saying that the economy is disintegrating and but talking down Northern Ireland. You're in the Socialist Party, aren't you?
We have to call it what it is.
Rivals
to call it what it is.
Sinn Féin.
We have to absolutely call it what it is. We have to, yeah. We have to call the facts.
We did.
I'm not in the business of I'm not in doom and gloom. What I'm here to do is say the facts as they are.
We did ask the Sinn Féin press office about Councillor McVeigh's comments. They pointed us to a tweet by Martin McGuinness on Wednesday night who said, we will honour all the commitments we made in yesterday's agreement. Today's vote in the Assembly is evidence of that. They might want to rein in Councillor McVeigh. I don't think Councillor McVeigh has retracted that statement. A senior Sinn Féin councillor. So which is it?
It's good to see Councillor McVeigh actually calling out his comrades on this issue, and I'm delighted that he has come.
But can I also remind you that it was tweeted by Belfast Sinn Féin's official account? So, you know, Belfast Sinn Féin's official account has said the corporation tax will not be happening anytime soon. So not just Councillor McVeigh, Belfast Sinn Féin's official account has sent a message out to the public. Corporation tax ain't happening. So within 24, 48 hours of the deal, Belfast Sinn Féin's official account is saying, not anytime soon, comrades, or they're certainly repeating that message. What is going on within Sinn Féin is the question. Well, you say excellent, Carmel Gates, but if there's a deal, and if there is integrity within that deal, and if Belfast Sinn Féin is undermining Martin McGuinness by repeating a message which completely undermines what the Deputy First Minister is saying, what's happening within Sinn Féin? Jim in Belfast. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I just listened to the programme, and it's not all doom and gloom, because yesterday on the BBC, they were given a figure that Northern Ireland was no longer the bottom of the league for earning salary, and the average salary in Northern Ireland is £25,000 a year. That's one point. A second point, I read other figures that are England, this is from the Barnett formula. England gets £8,638 per person from that. Scotland gets £10,374 a year. Northern Ireland gets £11,106 per head of the population.
So in other words, we're doing all right.
We're doing all right. But another thing you have to think, and none of the people on your programme have thought, they're too inward-looking in the sense, what about the rest of the world? What about China? Number two in production. 10, 15 years ago, if you'd have said that to somebody in the street, they would have laughed at you. But the world changes, and unfortunately, everyone has to change with it.
He's Norman this morning.
Stephen, austerity does not work. What drives the economy? It's people spending. And when you cut people's wages and benefits, and we're seeing jobs at Michelin, all these people are now on the dole. So there's less money to spend. It affects shops, it affects everything. And here we are throwing millions upon millions to the police service to deal with the past. It's time that people woke up. You're not going to get
actually some of the money that's been given to the police service is to protect us against terrorism.
Stephen, you can't protect against terrorism by throwing millions upon millions. The police are already getting millions to deal with terrorism. So they are. You're throwing millions upon millions. That money could be going into the health service, it could be going into education, it could go into create jobs for young people. And here we are throwing millions upon millions year after year, dealing with the past, working round and round in circles. The past will never be dealt with, and people need to face that.
Okay.
You either draw a line onto the past, or you keep throwing millions
out. Norman, thank you very much. Colin Gates, we've literally 40 or 50 seconds. Are you taking comfort out of the Sinn Féin Belfast office sending out this note on corporation tax?
I think they realise maybe how unpopular the agreement has been, how devastating it's going to be for workers, and that there's going to be opposition. I want us to see the trade union movement to start building opposition, to start fight for real jobs, to fight for quality jobs. And if we have to take on Sinn Féin and DUP to do that, then that's what we have to do.
I think we need clarity through the Belfast Sinn Féin Twitter account, whoever has control of that, as to what is actually happening on corporation tax. Certainly mixed messages from Sinn Féin about this. Let's see if we can establish what's going on.